Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. It is critical to the safety and security of this country that we improve the sharing of terrorism, homeland security, and weapons of mass destruction related information across federal, state, local, private sector, and international partners. When examining the full scope of information sharing and protection, there are many widespread and complex challenges that must be addressed and solved by multiple agencies and organizations together. The risk of a future WikiLeaks incident can be reduced, but fixing these government-wide challenges is complex, difficult, and requires sustained commitment. To do this right involves cultivating a horizontal, cross-cutting, data-centric information sharing and protection capability. What is the information sharing environment? How is information sharing maturing across the ISE? What are the biggest challenges facing the ISE? And to what extent does the pursuit of standards limit or defeat innovation? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Shmendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment. Shmendra, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Kruiser. George, welcome.
Thank you.
Shmendra, before we delve into specific initiatives, I think it would be helpful to provide some context. So what exactly is the Information Sharing Environment, or ISE? And perhaps you could offer some practical ways of thinking about this concept.
That's a great question. I get that a lot. The ISE is a complicated topic. The way I think about it is that the ISE is a collection of normalized mission and technical capabilities distributed and decentralized across all of our mission partners, federal, state, local, tribal, and private sector entities. The ISE is delivered by interconnecting existing networks, systems, and databases, working with industry and standards bodies to adopt required standards and other frameworks. The ISE harmonizes and standardizes information processes based on shared mission equities. And finally, the ISE strengthens information safeguardings, including protecting privacy, civil liberties, and civil rights of the American people. A practical way of thinking about the ISE is to think of it as an information analog to the interstate highway system. The same way the interstate highway system knit together this country post-World War II, the ISE is intended to be the information fabric enabling whole-of-government responses to national security and public safety challenges that face our nation.
Would you give us an overview of the history and evolving mission of the Office of the Program Manager for Information Sharing Environment? What was the genesis for creating this government-wide entity, and how has its mandate evolved to date?
Absolutely. My office is a core part of the government's response post-9/11. It was called for directly by the 9/11 Commission. A series of seminal reports issued by the Markle Foundation in the last decade really sketched out in great detail the vision for the information sharing environment. The statutory and policy core for the office come from three pillars: the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004, Executive Order 13388, further strengthening terrorism-related information sharing, and the 2007 National Strategy for Information Sharing. From our inception, our office has had a particular focus in two areas. First, the domestic information sharing architecture, really the nexus between public safety and national security, what some in the law enforcement community talk about in terms of the nexus between homeland security and hometown security. Second, our office has had a focus on identifying, integrating, and disseminating best practices around responsible information sharing, management, and integration, really a direct line from the government reform efforts around information resources management that were anticipated with legislation like Clinger-Cohen, the eGov Act of 2002, FISMA, the Privacy Act, and other related legislation.
With such a critical cross-agency government-wide mission, I'd like to get a sense of the scale of operation you support. Would you describe how the PMISE is organized, the size of its budget, the number of full-time employees, and what are the core communities your efforts work across and why?
My office has just under 30 government employees. About half are agency assignees working on specific projects on behalf of those agencies or detailees. We have a number of contractors augmenting our government team with specific skills. We're organized into four divisions plus two supporting teams. The four divisions are mission programs. That's where we do our work with state and local law enforcement and other mission programs across the government. Standards and architecture, which is a primary touch point with industry. Assured interoperability, which is more like a technical CIO program coordination function. And management and oversight, and that's where we do performance budget integration, strategy, policy, and governance work. The two supporting teams, which work across all four divisions, are stakeholder engagement and staff operations. The budget's between $20 to $25 million a year. Under a third goes to pay for government employees and administrative sort of fee expenses. Over a third goes to support our contractors, contract workforces, and about a third goes to support what we call our implementation fund. Kind of a unique capability of our office is our ability to seed fund, and we usually co-invest with agency mission partners to accelerate development of the ISE. A great example of that is the work we did to nurture the nationwide suspicious activity reporting initiative. Over the last number of years, we've invested about $15 million in the NSI with agency partners like FBI, DOJ, DHS. That's been a flagship of our office and a big success. Just under 300,000 frontline officers are now trained in the 16 behaviors that are reasonably indicative of terrorism-related activity or pre-operational criminal planning. We have privacy policies in all of the states that are as comprehensive as the presidential ISE privacy guidelines. 20,000 suspicious activity reports have been vetted to the functional standard we publish and maintain. And the FBI has opened up about 1,000 cases around SAR-like activity or SARs coming out of the NSI or their eGuardian application, which is part of the Nationwide Suspicious Activity Reporting Initiative. So that's an example of how we use our implementation fund to help accelerate implementation of the ISE.
I'd like to delve into your specific role as the program manager for the information sharing environment. So, you know, if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your specific responsibilities. And then, you know, given that this doesn't really have an operational mandate, how you use your soft power in order to get things done?
That's a really good question because we are not in the chain of command. My specific responsibilities as program manager are to plan for, oversee the agency-based build-out, and manage the information sharing environment. The president, via the Director of National Intelligence, has also delegated his responsibilities as it relates to the information sharing environment, in particular implementing the five guidelines. I mentioned privacy before. The other guidelines are things like common standards, a common framework for sharing between federal, state, local, tribal, and private sector, controlled unclassified information, which has now moved to NARA, and international information sharing. We do that across the five communities: law enforcement, homeland security, intelligence, defense, foreign affairs. Additionally, the White House sets annual priorities through programmatic guidance that issued jointly between the National Security Staff and OMB to the agencies. How do we actually operate? What does soft power look like for us? Really, I put it into three buckets. We have a top-down, we have a bottom-up, and we have an outside-in. And I talk about these at length in the annual report to Congress we just delivered. You can find that on our website, www.ise.gov. Let me talk about each of those buckets where we, you know, our soft power resides. First, we have the top down. I co-chair a White House policy committee around information sharing and access. We work closely with OMB on implementation guidance to the agencies, budget performance integration, performance metrics. The softest tool we have, but probably the most powerful, is our ability to identify best practices. Right? Over time, that really does work. And so we have the, you know, what we think and what we've heard from others is probably the leading information integration framework in the public sector around responsible information sharing. So, you know, got that top down, both legal and moral authority, leadership capability. So that's kind of the first pillar. The second pillar is the bottom up. We've, since inception, been very strongly focused on the domestic architecture, information sharing, intelligence domestically. Our strongest advocates are the state and local agencies, the law enforcement community, that have seen themselves become fully integrated partners into the national information sharing architecture. The National Network of Fusion Centers, suspicious activity reporting are two sort of flagships there. So that, you know, that bottom up. And in particular, these stakeholders and more broadly, other stakeholders view us as an honest broker, you know, where we're able to bring in their requirements, listen to them, give them a way to plug into national policy conversations around responsible information sharing. So we've got the top down, we've got the bottom up, but even that's not enough. We have a third area where I refer to as outside in. That's really our work with industry, right? This is around maturing our standards, working with industry and standards organizations around our standards, interoperability standards framework, looking at opportunities to better leverage procurement policy, to use standards so that government can buy interoperable solutions that can together plug in and create the capabilities required to be delivering the information sharing environment. You know, on this last one, there's three great examples. One is the Federal CIO Council's work on the Federal Identity Credential and Access Management Roadmap. We're fully aligned with that, and that's the basis of the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace. We're seed funding a project jointly with GSA called a Backend Attribute Exchange that'll support attribute-based access control to data across mission partners, federal, state, local. Second is the National Information Exchange Model. That's at the heart of our standards framework, and we've done a lot of interesting work there. You know, and third, we've been working with the American Council on Technology Industry Advisory Committee with our partners at GSA to get recommendations about how to better leverage standards in the government's procurement process.
So there's certainly a lot of responsibilities there, kind of sticking with the power of three, with the three buckets you talked about. I'm interested in what the three biggest challenges you face are.
There's actually four I'd like to highlight. Hopefully you'll let me sneak in a little bit of a scope creep on this one. The number one issue is 11 years post 9/11, retaining the urgency and prioritization of accelerating responsible information sharing. That's the, kind of our number one challenge. We've had a lot of progress. We've made progress. Last year at the 10-year anniversary, commentators inside, outside of the government all recognized the progress we've made on information sharing post 9/11. But there's more work to do, and it requires focus and prioritization. The number two challenge is new, and it's just as big as the structural financial challenge faced by agencies in the public sector. It's bad at the federal level. It's much worse at the state and local level. Number three is the evolving and increasingly integrated threats that span national security and public safety missions. And four is the tsunami of information and the imperative to correlate disparate bits of information across the distributed ISE. There's lots of data, and I think this is something I'd like to talk about a little bit more. Now, what are we doing about these things? On the first two, retaining the urgency and the structural financial challenges, we think they go together. Part of our challenge in the ISE is to continue to make sure we're relevant to the top priorities of our stakeholders in the Congress and the executive, the agencies, and so forth. We think that there's an efficiencies imperative that actually gets realized by our work on responsible information sharing. We think the tools that we're talking about, the best practices approach to information sharing, integration, and management will reduce duplication and redundancy, allow for increases in productivity. So we think that there is opportunities there. You know, in terms of the third thing I mentioned, the evolving threats, integrated threats, we're seeing that our mission partners increasingly want to leverage the assets we've put in place as a community, the National Network of Fusion Centers, for example, to address additional threat areas. Now, that's always been the vision. You know, and finally, in terms of the volumes of data, we see our best practices approach to responsible information sharing as a key contribution. An example here is we're working with several agencies, DHS, NCTC, others, to improve how terrorism-related data sets move across the government. So as we're able to implement enterprise data management ideas, we can develop repeatable processes and leverage shared services. You know, that'll result in efficiencies over time and improve data quality, which will improve the mission performance.
That's a great segue into understanding, given your unique role of your office, what are the characteristics of an effective leader?
My answer is colored by my training as an engineer and entrepreneur. Lots of different management styles, but I definitely have a point of view. So I break that into two parts, thought leadership and leading transformation. I believe that thought leaders must start with partnerships and listening to practitioners at all levels and be able to integrate and put forward an informed and credible vision rooted in informed and organized bodies of knowledge. Clearly, thought leaders have to have a point of view, right? That's the definition of a thought leader. But a thought leader without being rooted and anchored in existing knowledge and relationships and partnerships is, you know, not really useful. Now, for transformation leaders, it's absolutely essential to be credible from an operational or execution perspective. You know, you have to have a good track record, but that's only a starting point. You must extend and have visible listening skills, empathy for the mission, you know, demonstrating integrity in how you make decisions, clearly and predictably communicating, and transparent operation. So all of those things have to come together to create the confidence in transformation. Now, I separated the thought leadership from the transformation because they're distinct aspects of my job. What we're doing at the PMISC and what we're doing with the ISC more broadly is new. It's not like there's existing models for, you know, doing this sort of thing. As a matter of fact, if there were, the agencies could just do it. You wouldn't need to have an office like mine. But in addition to that, you know, thought leadership, laying out the vision in a credible way, in a detailed way, right, you need to execute also. So both of those things come together.
What is the national strategy for the information sharing environment? We will ask Shmendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.